So today we're going to look at part five of the series, Embracing Inconvenience. You're going to hear in the session this week that our small group teacher who takes us through all the sessions, if you haven't seen her or heard her yet, her name is Ann Voskamp, and she's going to say this in your session this week. Love is the willingness to be inconvenienced and interrupted. Love is the willingness to be inconvenienced and interrupted. And so this morning, if you have a Bible or a device, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 10. It's probably one of the most well-known Lukean, or the ones that Luke writes, his parables, if not one of the most well-known parables of the Bible, the Good Samaritan. And it's interesting as we look at it, some of the things we're going to see and unpack. We'll start with verse 29. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, he tells this story. We don't believe it was a true story, but it was based probably on the realities of that time. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of all his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to that place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. I'm going to stop there for now. You can keep it. Finger there, a bookmark there. So the story starts out just a traveler. Traveled this road from Jerusalem to Jericho. It was a well-known road, a well-traveled road. It was also known to be a treacherous road, and people would often find themselves in trouble if they weren't careful. That's why people often did not walk that road alone. But you need to understand the principal characters here. We've got a Jewish man and a Samaritan, a priest and a Levite. And they're interesting because of the role that those individuals played in the culture of that day. You see, there was great resentment between Jews and Samaritans in that day. The Jews thought the Samaritans were half-breeds. That's how they saw them. They didn't see them as fully Jewish. And that comes from history of hundreds of years. And when Israel, going back in the Old Testament view, when Israel was taken into captivity, and while they were taken in captivity, then the Assyrians came and lived in their land, and some of the Jews married Assyrians, and their offspring were what called the Samaritans. So they were half Jewish and half Assyrians in their history. And so the Jewish people said they're half breeds. And so there was this, you know, they're not pure Jews, and kind of snobbish kind of thing going on. And then there was a difference in religion. The Jews believe that Jerusalem is the place where the temple of God should be, and God worshiped in Jerusalem, and the Samaritans said, no, Jerusalem is not the right place. Mount Gerizim is the right place, and they tried to build their own temples there, and so they had this religious back and forth that they didn't agree, and then they had this historical offspring genetic thing they didn't agree, and so there was great resentment between Jews and Samaritans. Open hostility between them that had been going on for 400 years. In fact, there was such, even in Jesus' time, there was a time when Jesus was traveling and ministering, and as he went into a Samaritan village, Luke chapter 9 tells us, they went into a Samaritan village and the people didn't want them. James and John, two of the disciples, said this. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, that the Samaritans didn't want to let Jesus and his crew in because they were Jewish in this Samaritan village, these disciples said, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" Such loving disciples. But, I mean, that was the mindset. They're just Samaritans. They're second-class citizens. They don't matter anymore. so that we get a picture of them. And so with that picture in mind, now you need to hear the story of the Good Samaritan. And by the way, the idea of this being a Good Samaritan in that Jewish mindset is an oxymoron. A Samaritan could not be good. There's no such thing to a Jewish mindset of a Good Samaritan. So with that as the background, Jesus gives this story to a Jewish audience. And he starts out, and it's inferred in Jesus' story, and understood by the people who are hearing his story, that the man that's traveling is Jewish. So if you would put it in our context, we'd say a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was beaten and robbed. Probably left for dead. The Bible says he was half dead. Like I said, travel down this road at times was known to be treacherous, and robbers would hide in the sides and jump people if they could. Then along came some religious leaders. First one is a priest. He's coming back. He's all holy. Walking. I just finished working in the temple. Oh. He's walking along. And he sees, just up the road a little bit, he sees a man lying there, battered and half naked probably and broken and broken and broken. He'll go on the other side of the road so I don't have to get too close to him. I don't want to meet up with him. And then a little time later, a Levite comes. A Levite is an assistant in the temple. He'd be an assistant to the priest. And he comes traveling down the road all content and smiling. And look at me. Look how holy I am. I'm a Levite. Look at me. Oh God, you must be so happy with me. And he's walking down the road and he sees that man and he goes, oh, no, 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 no. I'm going to go across to the other side and go on my way. I'm not going to be bothered by this. And I mean, this is probably a shock to the audience. A priest and a Levite, the religious leaders of my day, and they can't be bothered to help. Jesus said, and a third person comes down the road, minding his own business. He's going somewhere because he's got a donkey. He's got purpose and plans, and he comes down the road. The third person that comes by is a Samaritan. Remember, the Jewish people despise the Samaritans. I think the audience is thinking, well, you know, he's no better than the priest. You know, he's going to cross over on the other side too. He's no better than a Levite. He's going to cross to the other side too. I mean, what else is there? You see, because history had taught the Jews that the Samaritans were to be hated and not loved. They were to be shunned and not embraced, ignored and not welcomed. And when the Samaritan, Jesus says, when the Samaritan saw the beaten man, he had pity on him. What's pity? Pity is sympathy here. He had great sympathy. He didn't have pity like, oh, poor you, let me get on with my life. He had sympathy for the man. Notice the reaction of the Samaritan in contrast to the Jewish religious leaders of the day. You would expect Jewish leaders to have sympathy for the man. But no, they went out of their way to avoid him. The priest and the Levite acted contrary to the love of God. They were the religious leaders of the day, but they could not be bothered to help. They were too important to be inconvenienced. They felt that they were too prestigious to be inconvenienced by this broken man. That their religious piety was too high and mighty for themselves that they could not be inconvenienced for this man. But the Samaritan had pity for this man. The Samaritan not only had pity on him, but he acted sacrificially. Understand this. If the roles had been reversed, if it was a Samaritan man who lay on the road half dead, no Jew would have stopped for him. No Jew would go out of their way to help him. But the story continues in verse 34. He went to him, that he is the Samaritan. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said. "And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." The Samaritan responds in a way that is above or beyond any expectation of his day. Look at what he does here. I'm going to break it down real quick. He bandaged his wounds. Now, where did he get the bandages, I ask? I doubt he was carrying a first aid kit in his backpack. He had a donkey, but I doubt he was prepared to offer first aid. So where did the bandages come from? I'm assuming, I'm guessing, he ripped up some of his own clothing. And he took them into strips and he began to bandage the man right there on the side of the road. We don't really get it, but he poured oil and wine on the man. Now we think, well, wait a minute. Oil is what I cook with and wine is what some people drink. No, see, oil and wine were the first aid treatments of that day. They used the wine as a disinfectant, but they would pour it over the wounds. And then they'd use oil as a soothing lotion. And they'd pour, so they'd disinfect and then soothe and probably then bandage. So he poured oil and wine. And then he puts the man on his donkey. I mean, how else is he going to carry him? Yeah, I get that. You could kind of possibly bandage him up and help him up and say, you know, hopefully you can get home now. But he goes beyond that. He puts the man on his donkey, which does a number of things. It means the Samaritan is the one walking. He brought his donkey. He's got his vehicle. It's all fed up and ready to go. But he puts the beaten man on his donkey, and he walks the donkey into the next town, probably Jericho. He takes time, because his travel's now delayed, because it takes a lot longer to pull the donkey than have the donkey drive you. So he's delayed in his time. His schedule is a mess. How many of us hate when our schedules get messed up? And he brought him to an inn, and he cared for him, and that's the part we often miss. He just didn't drop him at the inn. I mean, there were no hospitals in that day that I know of. This was the next best thing. But he takes him to an inn and he stays with him. He spends the rest of that day and that night with him. He's probably checking his dressings, his bandages, his wounds, probably redressing them if they need to be. He's making sure the man gets good sleep, but probably waking him every hour so he doesn't have a concussion. I'm guessing, I don't know. They probably didn't know concussions back then. But they knew the man was beaten. He stayed with him and cared for him all through the night. There were no cell phones. He couldn't call ahead to tell his wife he was delayed. You know, he just took time out of his schedule. Because the Bible says the next day. That's why we know that. The next day. He goes to the innkeeper and he says, "Here, I'm going to pay for this man's keep. Here's 2 denarii. Now, we don't know what a denarii is, and there's no real equivalency, but know this. 2 denarii is 2 days' wages for this man. A denarii was considered a 1 day's wage. So think about that for a minute. He gave up 2 days' pay to care for a total stranger. And he said, "If that's not enough, when I come on back through, I'll check in with you. And I just put his stuff on a tab. I've got it. It's taken care of." Some scholars think 2 denarii would have taken care of that man anywhere from 1 to 2 months. So he wasn't just leaving him in a day or two. Stay here, rest up, get well. When you're ready, you can go home. You see, the Samaritan embraced inconvenience. He embraced inconvenience. Now, I don't want you to get lost in the economics of all of this story. I don't want you to think that to show love to somebody, you need to go and open a line of credit so you can spend, spend, spend. That's not what the story is about. The story is not about economics. The story is about love. The story is about embracing inconvenience. I'm not saying you need to spend beyond your means. I think we need to do whatever we can within what we are able to do. We need to understand what it is to live out the gospel. That being inconvenienced is not an inconvenience at all. That knowing right and doing right are two totally different things. The priest knew what was right. The Levite knew what was right. All they did was change the side of the road. All they did is make sure that they did not come face to face with an obstacle. The priest and the Levite lived religious lives of their day. They understood the law and the prophets and what they said. They can probably win a debate on the law and the prophets, the Old Testament, what we would call Old Testament scriptures, which were the Jewish scriptures of that day. They could win a theological debate. At least they could hold their own. They knew the nuances of the religion, and they knew all the different laws and rules that man put on top of God's law. But they missed out what God really required of them. See, there's an obscure prophet towards the end of the Old Testament. His name is Micah. And in Micah 6:8, we are told these words, summing up true religion. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. See, the Jewish people thought, well, if you just knew the law and you tried to live up to all of the little nuances of the law, if you could do all that, then you could be holy and religious. But they missed out on what God actually requires. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. In crossing the road to avoid the injured man, they actually did the opposite of what Micah tells them to do. By taking care and putting their own needs and concerns first, they missed out on what God wanted from them. By not serving the beaten traveler, they lost the opportunity to serve God. They lost the opportunity to live out their religion and their faith. They were caught up in the religious traditions, not in the love of their God. And sometimes we do the same thing. Sometimes our actions do not equal our words. Sometimes the things that we say, that we believe, we don't live them out. But Micah reminds us to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly. On the other side of the priest and the Levite is the Samaritan, the one the Jews despised. The people the Jews thought did not know how to worship God, but this Samaritan had it right. He understood what the prophet Micah said. He too knew what the prophet said. He too heard those words, God requires me to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. See, the Samaritan is the one who's expected to cross the road. The Samaritan is the one who's expected to avoid a Jewish man laying half dead on the road. It's the Samaritan who should do nothing. It's the priest and the Levite who should live out their religion. But Jesus turns the tables. It's the Samaritan who stops, who bandages his wounds, who cares for the man, who pays out of his pocket, who expects no compensation, no reward, and no recognition. The Samaritan was willing to embrace inconvenience. See, loving others will always cost you something. It may not cost you your finances, but it sure will cost you your time. It will cost you your effort. It will cost you your heart. Loving others will at times be hard. It's not always easy to love everyone. And you know that. Loving others will take you out of your comfort zone. Loving others will always mess up your schedule. They may call and you may have to run. Loving others will sometimes break your heart. You could love somebody and they could spit in your face. But Jesus is saying, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciple, then embrace inconvenience. Who do you think you are most like? Who are you most like? Are you like the priest? You can go around acting religious, knowing all the right things to say. Are you like the priest, but you know and you can act, but you'd rather cross the road than embrace inconvenience? Are you like the Levite? You just love to be in the temple. You just love to come to church. If the doors are open, you want to be here. Are you like the Levite who's happy to assist, who's happy to be working for God, but he lacked the capacity to understand mercy and love? Or are you willing to be like the Samaritan? The one who was unexpected. The one who was moved by pity and sympathy. The one who was willing to pour out mercy. The one who was ready to risk loving a stranger. Who stopped for the broken. Are you willing to embrace the broken? The hurting? The bruised? Oh, that it may not be physical. Chances are you don't come across many broken, half-dead people on the sidewalk in your neighborhood. But what about the broken people? Their spirits are broken. Their hope is broken. Their faith is broken. Their family is broken. Their hearts are broken. They're broken. And we often go running by them in the busyness of our lives, myself included. Hi, how are you? Keep going. Don't even wait for an answer. Because it's the Canadian thing to do. How many of us are willing to be the Samaritan in people's lives? To embrace inconvenience. But Pastor, you don't understand. My whole schedule is so busy. Well, been there, done that. I too ran kids to sports and gymnastics and swimming and school and who knows what. Are we willing to embrace inconvenience? Are we willing to show someone the real love of God? To help someone who is in need, to invite someone to meet Jesus, to bring somebody to church, to love others with no expectation of payback. Are we willing to embrace inconvenience? Because sometimes it's hard. Let me rephrase that. It's almost always hard. Father, we just thank you today for who you are. As we've looked at this story again and again and again, that you're calling us to embrace inconvenience. We give you all glory and honor. Lord, open our eyes to see the broken around us. Move in our hearts with your sympathy and your love. That we would act justly, love mercy, We give you all glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.